Thanks, Joe. Morning, everyone. It's nice to be with you, albeit in a different way than we would normally experience. This weekend, 2 years ago, I was speaking at Coventry East as well. And I know that because this is the second anniversary of us moving to Ashby. And we spoke on the Sunday, or I spoke on the Sunday, having just moved. So how time flies and how we find ourselves now in a very different world to what we were in 2 years ago. At this point, when we were able to meet together and share the bread and wine in person. And the reading for today, being 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I was going to do an exhortation on that, but then I remembered that I'd already done a Thessalonians exhortation at Coventry East, and the last time I confidently asserted that no one would remember what I'd said previously, Dave proved me wrong afterwards by quoting at me pretty much chapter and verse something that I'd said about 5 years previous. So today I want to talk about persistence and perseverance instead, and the benefits of being able to persevere in adversity in our life in faith. And when we look at what perseverance and persistence mean, on the face of it, they feel pretty similar words with similar meanings. Persistence is firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. So it's ploughing on regardless is pretty much what persistence is. But it can have a slightly negative tone to it. That word obstinate continuance in there leads us to think that maybe persistence isn't always a positive characteristic. We think of the fact that we're all being told to watch out for a persistent cough. Well, that's not a great thing at the moment, is it, to have a persistent cough? Salespeople can be persistent, and I'm allowed to say that as a reformed salesperson. So if you're getting a quote from someone and they're refusing to remove their foot from your doorway or not wanting to leave your living room until they've got a signature, then you've pretty much feel that that's not a positive position to be in. Children can be persistent. When they're asking for a pet, some food, a go on the computer console, a game of football in the garden, some more food, watching of the telly, a pet, more money, some more food, another pet. And all of these things are persistent requests from small children. And don't we just love them for it? But persistence can often lead us to think, well, it's maybe not the most positive. Now, that's not to say it isn't always positive, because clearly we're told to be persistent in prayer in the scriptures. So I'm not saying that it's a universally negative thing. But when you compare it with perseverance, perseverance is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. So it's almost a slow and steady wins the race kind of approach, rather than a battering ram to get to the end result that you want to be in. And if you persevere, then you are seen in a much more positive light. It's a good characteristic to have, to be perseverant, which is something that we're currently trying to explain to Katie when she's getting fed up doing her schoolwork at home by about 11:30. If you persevere, then actually you'll get the result that you want, because you're putting the work in, and it's a good characteristic to have. And when we think of people who have shown perseverance over the course of time, explorers are perseverant. So if in the face of difficult circumstances or trying and a challenging environment, they persevere towards their end goal, hoping to discover something new. And I suppose one of the ultimate examples of that would be Shackleton, who he persevered in the face of his ship being frozen into the middle of a continent and having to retrace all of his steps to go back and get help. People fighting illness can often be described as persevering, where it's a kind of a stoic keep on keeping on kind of thing, where they are clearly facing a difficult time in their life, but they are remaining positive about the fact that they can overcome whatever illness it is that they're facing. And I was sorry to hear that Brother Brian is unwell at the minute. So my thoughts and prayers are with Brian. If someone can relate my love back to him when you next speak to him, please. There's a famous example of perseverance that I'd just like to think on for a moment. Those of you who are either old enough or interested enough in athletics to remember the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, the Brits had a good hope in the 400 metres men's race in the form of Derek Redmond. He was one of the favourites to win gold, and he had been winning tournaments and competitions in the run-up to the Olympic Games in 1992, and he was pretty much going to be a sure-fired banker for us to win a gold medal. However, in his semi-final, as he was going round the 300-metre bend, his hamstring snapped, which is pretty disastrous at the best of times, let alone when you're going at speed with the entire world watching you. And he collapsed to the ground. And in that moment, his hopes and his dreams, everything that he'd trained for years and years and years, came crashing down around him. And he lost his opportunity. His one shot at Olympic gold glory was then left in tatters and ruins because of something that was outside of his control. And he could have then just sloped off to the side and returned home feeling very sorry for himself. But what actually happened was that his father, who was in the crowd, managed to barrage his way past some of the crowd stewards and hop onto the track. And his father then lifted him up and supported him under his shoulder. And between the two of them, they finished the race. And it's one of the enduring images of sport from the last generation or so of Derek Redmond with tears streaming down his face of both pain and anguish, being supported to finish the race that he had started by his father. His father, who had had to fight through people who were trying to stop him from getting to the prostrate Derek lying on the ground, to pick him up and to carry him over the line. And that is held up often as an example of great perseverance and mental fortitude, that Derek Redmond was able to do that in supported by his father. And there's a beautiful spiritual lesson there for us as well, isn't there? The fact that our father will often have to wrestle past the people who are trying to stop him from getting to us, to stop him from having an impact in our lives, so that he can pick us up and help us by walking alongside us to get us over the finishing line. So when we think of perseverance, it's something that is a positive thing. We're encouraged to be perseverant. We're encouraged to show this. And it's a word that crops up fairly often in the Bible, but in many times different guises. So it can be endurance, and it can be patience, as well as being translated as perseverance. And one of those examples is in Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 5. I'm not going to let loose my awful Greek pronunciations at you, but there's the one Greek word with a couple of variations that can be translated as perseverance, patience, or endurance. And at the beginning of Romans 5, we have this: "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." And there we have that progression of how things can unfold in our lives, where we have a problem, we have an issue, either in our natural life, or particularly this morning I want to think about our spiritual life, where we have a difficulty that we want to overcome, and that's our tribulation. But tribulation brings the opportunity for perseverance, for patience, and for endurance. And after that, once you've overcome and persevered and got through that difficulty, then it gives you the experience to know that in your life in faith, using whatever tools you used, whether it was constant prayer or whether it's your brothers and sisters around you and the network of close spiritual contacts and support that you have, you know that you can then overcome these hard times in your life, and that God doesn't just leave us all and abandon us, but he is there for us every single step of the way with the Lord Jesus Christ to help us push on through and get to the finishing line, to help us persevere, so that we can keep our eyes on the hope that we have, that whatever difficulty we're experiencing in a moment in time is literally just that. It is a snapshot, a moment in time. But the hope that we have is that we will have a greater glory and a greater time to come, living with the Lord Jesus in the kingdom of God, when all things will be made right. And that is what gives us the energy and the enthusiasm and the strength to persevere. Into the Epistle of James and chapter 1. Verse 2, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Very similar to what Paul was saying to the Romans, isn't it? That when we do have problems arise in our life, then we can see that. And it sounds like an horrendous business cliche, but you can see it either as a challenge or as an opportunity. And if we see things as an opportunity to help strengthen our faith, to help us to draw closer to God, to help us to have a closer bond and a stronger bond with the Lord Jesus Christ through the faith that we have, then that will increase our sense of faith and worth in God's family as we progress through our life waiting for his son to return. It is a positive thing to have your faith tested and tried, and to come out the other side of it. It's not an easy thing, but it is there for us. It is there to improve our character, to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there to give us cause for reflection and to test what we truly believe, so that we can ensure that we are on the right track, we are going in the right direction that the Lord God wants us to go in, and that we can get through. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, that, doesn't he, that there's no temptation which God then doesn't provide a means for escape from. God doesn't just say, well, there you go, I'm going to let you run roughshod, and if you sink, well, you sink, that's your problem. God wants us to be in his kingdom. God wants us to be in his family. God is wrapping his arms around us right now through this difficult time to help us to have the strength of faith to be able to persevere in the face of adversity, so that we can continue to join together as a family of as a family in Christ, to meet, to remember his death and his resurrection and all the hope that that brings with it. And it's not just our own trials that we have to have perseverance for, but it's the trials of others as well. And this can be a challenging thing for us, because although we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and hopefully in a Christ-like way, it is difficult sometimes to love someone who is going through a hard time in their life, because the irony is, when someone needs to be loved the most, it's at that point that they often become the most unlovable. The pressure of whatever difficulty that they're experiencing will often cause them to behave in a different way, or potentially in a volatile way. And frequently people might either withdraw completely and not want to have any contact with others, or maybe they'll lash out and say things which can be hurtful and spiteful in the moment, and are just said in the heat of the minute, rather than being something that is truly in their mind. But by that point, the damage can be done. So the challenge for those of us who maybe see others who are struggling with something in their life is to not be put off, not be pushed away, but instead to try and reach out even more, to draw ourselves closer to that person who is having the difficulty, the struggle, the trial, so that we can support them to persevere. And so that requires perseverance from them, but also from us. And Paul writes about this in the Epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians 6, coming in at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And there we have it, Paul saying that it's not just when you're going out to preach to the gospel, preach the gospel to those who are around you, preach to the world, where you need to be prepared and protected with the armor of God, and having the shield and the sword about you in either hand to help you in your cause. But in verse 18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for those who are already, who have already responded to the gospel, for those who are in the household of God, because at different times people will struggle with their faith. They will have a hard time continuing to have their belief and their faith in God as the bedrock of their lives. So therefore, we should pray earnestly and frequently for those, and persevere, not wanting to see people cut adrift and disappear off the scene completely. But don't give up on other people, because God doesn't give up on us. We see this again in his letter, in the second letter to the Thessalonians, which is coming up during the course of the week in the Bible Companion. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labour and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Be not weary in well-doing. Don't think, oh, I'm too tired to carry on trying to help or deal with brother X or sister Y. That's not a Christ-like attitude, as Paul is saying. There will be people who cause division, who cause problems within ecclesias, but the instruction from Paul is to deal with them as a brother, not as an enemy, and not to completely give up on them. Because if people need the opportunity to come back into the family of faith at some point, they need to feel that they're walking back into a family which loves them and which wants them there. And if we cut people off completely and have nothing to do with them whatsoever because they've offended us, and we haven't got the time or the strength or the energy or the mental capacity to try and persevere with that person, well, that's not going to be looked favorably upon when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, who could quite justifiably say, how about all these times when you've walked away from me, where you've let me down, where you've brought dishonor upon my name, and yet I never left you, I never gave up on you and walked away from you. So God is patient with us to the nth degree, to a point where we can't even begin to understand how patient God is with us. And he perseveres with us. And so we should with others as well. And I'm not saying that's easy. It is a very, very hard thing to do. But that's the idea behind perseverance. That perseverance isn't easy. If it was, then everyone would persevere and everyone would achieve everything that they needed to achieve. But life isn't like that. Life can be challenging and hard, and it's how we then respond to that challenge that can dictate how we are seen in the eyes of our most holy judge. We have a calling as an ecclesia in Christ. We have a need to endure to the end, because we have been given work to do by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe that the time of the end is coming ever closer, ever more quickly, when we see what's happening in and around us. The Lord Jesus gave some instructions to his disciples when he was sending them out to preach in Matthew chapter 10. He was telling them that they were going to come across some really difficult circumstances, and things weren't always going to go their way. But the encouragement was from him: don't give up. Don't give up, because your reward will be when someone does respond, when someone answers the call and comes to him through us as well. So Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man is come. And there we have it. The Lord Jesus saying explicitly that those people who endure to the end shall be saved. And that's not just one person as an individual, but today as a group, as an ecclesia, as the body of Christ with him as our head, we are enduring to the end. We are not letting the circumstances of the world stand in the way of us sharing our faith and sharing our community with each other this morning, sharing our hope, sharing our sense of being bound together by the love of God. We are finding a way to persevere, to endure to the very, very end, so that we are continuing to prepare ourselves for the coming of the King, so that when he does come, he can't look on us and see us who were too afraid to carry on meeting in whatever way that we could. He can't see that we were too afraid or too belittled to want to continue in faith and to be joined together as we are this morning, not just on this little screen just here, but on countless other little screens all the way around the world this morning. People who show grit and determination are more likely to succeed in life. And that's because life is just full of challenges. And if you can use your faith in whatever way to overcome those hurdles, those obstacles, those hard times, then the reward that you will get for that will be great. I don't mean that one person will be rewarded in the kingdom more than someone else, but the sense of self-satisfaction and self-worth and self-belief and confidence in your own faith and in your own ability to be able to achieve things through your relationship with the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ will buoy you and keep you keep your spirits raised to make sure that you are ready and prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look around the world and you see the people who succeed in worldly terms in the face of adversity. Now, they don't necessarily have to be nice people, but they can still be examples of how perseverance works. You've got someone like Richard Branson, who is dyslexic and he failed all of his exams at school, and yet he went on to build an enormously successful business empire. Franklin Roosevelt was partly paralyzed at the age of 39 by polio, and yet he didn't let that stop him, and he went on to become one of the wartime leaders who overcame the evil of the Nazis during the Second World War. When we look in scripture, there are so many examples of people who persevered, who had patience, who had endurance. We think of Joseph, we think of Moses, we think of Elijah and Elisha, we think of David, we think of Job. All of those people who had things that went wrong in their life, but they didn't lose their faith, they didn't lose their focus on what was important in their lives, and they went to their God to ask for help, and they were carried through. They all persevered in the face of adversity. And we are facing adverse times now, aren't we, brothers and sisters? Whatever our thoughts are around this, the virus situation, and whether we should or we shouldn't be locked down is irrelevant. We are where we are. And whether we think it's right, wrong or indifferent, it doesn't matter. What we've got to do is make sure that this doesn't impact negatively on our state of mind, on our ability to stay connected as brothers and sisters, that we don't allow this moment in time to overwhelm our faith and to unpick all the good work that we've done before in building up our faith to a point where we can be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus. And I'd just like to finish with some words from the letter to the Hebrews. When we think of what it's all about, what our faith is all about, what our life in faith is all about, and the fact that we are now getting ready to take bread and to drink wine in memory of the one person who had to endure all things for our sake. He had to endure pain and suffering and agony and scourging and ridicule to a level that none of us will never will hopefully never know or have to understand. But he did it because he loves us as a group and as individuals. Jesus is our example of perseverance. He had to endure all things, but did so that we might have a chance of having that life in the kingdom to come. So Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds.